We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th chapter, verses 1 to 16. And if we don't get up to 16, then we'll finish it in the next class. So verse 1. Shishukuvacha katvanga jigabahuscha rakistasma pitushava ajastito maharajastasma dasadato bhavat. Shukadev Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Katavanga was Jigabahu. His son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality, Maharaj Dasharath. Mukam makarati vacha naham bandhan langhaite guni yaktikam tanaham bande shi guru mpunacharanam. Om jnana chimirandasya jnananchara shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasmai shikarare namaha. So what do you remember from chapter 9 of Ganga Devi? Yes.
So Bhagirath.
Bhagirath.
The descendant of Sagar.
Yes. So then he's Ottam and Protam.
Yeah, and
okay, anybody else remember anything from chapter 9? Ganga Devi comes down. Adipush? Yes, Katvanga Maharaj was offered a boon by the demigods.
He first decided to find out how much time he had, and then he
smart. He wanted to find out how much more time he has to live. And it was just a moment, so he gave up everything and surrendered to the Lord. Yes, Labangata. We heard about the Rajarshi, Sodasa, who became a man-eating Rakshasa. Yes, the modes are so strong, even the great personalities cannot overcome them. Okay, what else did we... Janamashtami? Kavanga. Okay. So Lord Ramachandra... We're going to hear about Lord Ram today, who is very close to Lord Krishna, very close. Actually, of all the incarnations of Krishna, Lord Ram is the closest. And he helps us to be prepared, purifies us to hear about Krishna. And he exemplifies the incarnation who came for the mission of Paritanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkitam, to protect the devotees and destroy the miscreants. And the devotees, they come and they take the opportunity to render loving service to him. So he's very kind and merciful that he's very easily satisfied just by a little service rendered by anyone, human being or not. So this is the special advantage of worshipping Lord Ram. And the same advantage is there in worshipping Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very kind and merciful. So in Brahma Samhita, there is a prayer where Lord Brahma says, Ramari murti shikala niyamena tishtanna napatara makaro duvane shikentu Krishna sayam samahavat paramapumanya govindamati purushantamaham vajami. So Lord Ram, not only Ram, but there's so many innumerable incarnations, just like the waves of a river. You can't even count them. But Ram is one of the main incarnations. So he appeared in Treta Yuga, in this planet. Verse 2. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharath. So who are these four in Krishna Lila? Ram is Krishna, Lakshman is Balaram, Bharata and Shatrughna. Aniruddha Pradyumna. So we find them actually in Dwaraka. We find Aniruddha and Pradyumna. In Dwaraka, Bharata and Shatrughna. And Krishna Balaram, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So now they always come whenever the main incarnation, Lord Krishna comes, Lord Ram comes, and they all come with him. Because Ram is also, he's one of the Sadbuj, Lord Ram, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ram. So verse 3, O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. So purport, Prabhupada talks about modern rakshasas. Who are these modern rakshasas?
The PhDs.
Can you believe it? Modern rakshasas are PhDs, posing as educationally advanced, merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramchandra is not Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. Modern rakshasas. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramchandra and his activities only as presented by tattva-darshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadviti pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya pradekshanti gyanam gyaninas tattva-darshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire for him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is tattva-darshi in complete knowledge of the absolute truth and cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramchandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramchandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramchandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramchandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, you have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramchandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, of course, this was more than 5,000 years ago, this was a couple of yugas ago, Chati Yuga, there were many Ramayans or histories, Parikshit was 5,000 years ago, right, or histories of Lord Ramchandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by tattva-darshis, gyaninas tattva-darshina, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishibis tattva-darshibi. So Varijan, he says one time he read one Ramayana, an impersonalist version, and in that book it said when Lord Ram did something very chivalrous, it proved that the modes were so powerful, even when God comes, he's controlled by them. That actually it was the modes and not Lord Ram. And so Bhurijan Prabhu said that the prisoners think when the king visits the prison, he's become a prisoner like themselves. And so you see, if you read different Ramayans, there's so many different opinions. I mean, the other different Ramayans, impersonalist Ramayans, they don't understand that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're hearing from Shukadeva Goswami the actual truth, the actual version. Now in this verse 4, we're going to have the whole Ramayana in one verse. Verse 4. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramchandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Sherpanaka, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramchandra give us all protection. So a summary of the Ramayana and a prayer for protection from Lord Ram. So verse 5. In the arena of sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra. Now we're starting again at the beginning of the Ramayana from verse 5. Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramchandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. Verse 6-7. O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. So also this bow was so heavy. Here it says 300 men. But one time when Sita was cleaning the floor, she moved the bow herself, just moved it out of the way so she could clean underneath. And her father saw her do that. So not only could Lord Ram do it, but Sita could also move the bow and lift it up like that. So she also had special potency.
Well, that's why, for the slaying of her,
yes. The husband had to be stronger than the wife, at least. Oh, yeah, because she could do it too. She could move the bow like nobody else, 300 men couldn't move it, but she could move it like that. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita. Huh?
She's Lakshmi,
yes. Of course, she can do it. Who is equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramchandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. So here I have the pastime, short pastime of Ram meeting Parashuram. This was when the marriage party was going home after the marriage. Then Maharaj Dasharath observed inauspicious signs, fierce birds flying overhead and screeching. Then he saw an auspicious sign of deer crossing his path from left to right. So he was fearful, so he asked Vasishta, who was the guru of the party. And he explained, the inauspicious sign indicates danger, but the auspicious sign assures there was no need of fear. So what happened, as they were talking, a fierce wind began to blow, shaking the earth and knocking down many trees. So this is Parashuram coming. When Parashuram comes, it's not like somebody else coming. First, a fierce wind begins to blow. The trees are going down. Dust clouded all directions. It became so dark, everyone became bewildered and panic-stricken, with the exception of Maharaj Dasharath, his four sons, Vasishta, and the other rishis. Suddenly, Parashuram appeared there in a very fierce form. His hair was matted. On his right shoulder, he carried an axe, a bow on his left, and in his hand was a powerful arrow. The rishis were very surprised to see Parashuram like this, because previously he had vowed to give up his anger and remain fixed in the execution of austerities. While the rishis were thus wondering why he had once again become angry, the son of Jamadagni addressed Lord Ram as follows. You have certainly performed a heroic feat by breaking Lord Shiva's bow, but I am carrying an even greater bow of Lord Vishnu. If you actually consider yourself a great hero, then take this bow and string it. If you're able to draw the arrow back to its full length, I shall consider you to be a fit person to fight with. So then, as soon as Ram's father heard this, he was really worried. He said, best of rishis, please desist from your aggressive spirit. I beg to remind you of your vow to renounce fighting, which you made after handing the earth over to Kashyap. Parashuram ignored him and continued speaking to Ram. Both Lord Shiva's bow and Lord Vishnu's bow were constructed by Vishvakarma. So I had retired to Mount Mahendra and was executing great austerities, but when I heard the news of your breaking Lord Shiva's bow, I felt compelled to come here and challenge you. Now, if you consider yourself competent, take this bow and see if you are worthy of fighting with me. Without giving a reply, Ram accepted Parashuram's challenge by snatching the bow and arrow from his hands along with his acquired ascetic prowess. So not only did he take the bow and arrow, he took all of his good karma. This is all his power. All his power. As the son of Jamadagni looked on in wonder, Ram effortlessly struck the bow and drew the arrow back to its full length. Ram then declared, because you're a Brahmin and related to Vishwamitra, I will not kill you. However, my taking up this arrow cannot go in vain. So that your challenge may be properly answered, I will now use it to destroy the attainment of heaven you had earned as a result of your penance. So finally, as Ram stood motionless with the arrow pulled back, Parashuram said in a subdued voice, "After I gave him the earth, Kashyap ordered me not to reside here, and for this reason I must leave before nightfall. Although my access to heaven has been taken away, I beg you, allow me to return to Mount Mahendra, so I may resume my performance of austerities. O Ram, I now understand you are Lord Vishnu himself, so I'm not at all ashamed at being defeated by you." So then Ram, he pulled back, released the arrow, and the darkness was dispersed. So that's the meeting with Parashuram. It was not an ordinary meeting. And Lord Nityananda, he used to do these pastimes with his friends when he was a child. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described. And one time, Lord Nityananda took the part of Lord Ram, and he spoke in anger to Parashuram, saying, "O Brahman, I am not at fault. Leave here at once." And so Nityananda also did these pastimes. Verse 8, carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Purport in the middle. Maharaj Dasharath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramchandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. But just imagine, you're ordered. It's a time for you to be crowned. All the preparations are being made for you to become king, emperor. And then all of a sudden, you're off to the forest. Next minute. Next second. And so this is, he took it immediately. And there is a verse in 11th canto, which describes this. This is 11:5:34. Chakta sudha sudha sarep shitara chalakshmim tarmishta arya vachasa yadagar aranyam Maya migam daita yep sita an vatavo vande maha purushate charanaravindam. So this verse, it has three meanings. One meaning is in relationship to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one to Krishna, and one to Lord Ram. And so it's translated according to Lord Chaitanya at first in the Bhagavatam. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce, is hankered after even by great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyam Sundar. So this verse can be used to explain the appearance of Lord Krishna also and Lord Ram also, besides Lord Chaitanya. So I'll ask you if you can tell me. I'll tell you one line, and you can explain to me how this verse refers to Lord Krishna. Okay, so first of all, the first line, you gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by the great demigods. So how does this refer to Krishna? He left. No, he didn't leave. It was the first. Yes? No. Okay, well, anyway, yes. But actually, the verse refers to something else. No. Shrimati Radharani is in there, actually. But not there. Not the first line. First line, you left the opulence. Actually, Krishna left Mathura and went to the forest of Vrindavan. He left the opulence of Mathura out of obedience. Here it says, obedience to a brahmana's curse, he left for the forest. So Krishna left for the forest of Vrindavan due to the command of his father, due to the order of his father. Huh? Yes, but actually in one sense Mathura is Vaikuntha and Vrindavan's the forest. It's different. And for Lord Ram, it's easy to see, right? He renounced. What did Lord Ram renounce? No, he didn't renounce Sita. The end. That's it, the end. But actually, the verse refers to the beginning. That you left the opulence and went to the forest in obedience to his father's order. His father's order. So he left the opulence of Ayodhya and went to the forest. So second line, you left for the forest. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls. So this is Maya Amrigam. The word, so this Mriga has different meanings, and probably only our Sanskrit scholar can tell us the different meanings. Deer. So, yeah, it also means deer. So in relationship to Lord Ram, it's easy to figure this out, that you chased after a deer, Maricha, the deer, to please Sita. And for Lord Chaitanya, he's chasing after the conditioned souls to capture them. Lord Ram is chasing after the deer. And Lord Krishna, he's like a plaything in the hands of Radharani. Mm-hmm. So Maya Mriga means just like a toy in Radharani's hand. He's running all over Vrindavan just to please Radharani. And so that's then the last one, last line. Oh, that's it, actually, Maya Mriga. So here we have this verse. There's also a little bit more on this pastime of how Lord Ram ordered, King Dasharath and Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi was the mother of Bharat Maharaj. So one time she was feeling very upset. Actually, she was influenced by Mantara, one hunchback servant, who told her that your son should have the kingdom, why should Ram have it? So she got this idea, and she went to the sulking room, and she was laying on the ground, sulking and crying, and then Maharaj Dasharath came and found her. Her hair was all messed up, and he was telling her, oh, you know, I love no one more than you except Ram. I swear I'll do whatever it is you may order. Feel free to tell me your desire, and rest assured I will fulfill it without fail. My dear one, you know I always give you everything you want. Please tell me what is troubling you. So then she said, remember when you were critically wounded and left for dead, I nursed you back to life, so you promised to reward me with two benedictions. So first, I want these two benedictions. Let Bharat be installed as ruler, using the very preparations you've made for Ram. And second, let Ram go to the forest this very day and live in exile for 14 years, wearing only tree bark and deer skin. That's so heavy. And so then Maharaj Dasharath, he was stunned. He says, what's happening to me? Am I going mad? Am I dreaming? And then he fainted. But then he agreed to fulfill her request. And then Ram had to go tell his mother that he's leaving. And Lakshman said, I'll go with you. And Lakshman came with Ram to talk to his mother. And he told Kaushalya, Lakshman said, you know, I'm loyal to Ram alone. I'm ready to kill the foolish Dasharath if it's necessary to install Ram on the throne. Though that was Lakshman. Now, Kaushalya did not care for the kingdom. She only feared separation from her beloved son. So she didn't want him to go. She says, Ram, don't go. It's more virtuous for you to stay here and please your poor mother than go to the forest at the command of your father. And don't listen to your father. Listen to me. If you go, I'll fast to death, because life will be unbearable without you. So this is all going on in this Leela. Ram says, Mother, it's not possible for me to disobey my father, so you must give me permission so I can leave at once. The order of one's father can never be avoided. Just consider how Parashuram beheaded his own mother, Renuka, at the command of his father. Then he turned to Lakshman. He said, My dear brother, don't lose all good sense becoming a victim of anger. Give up the idea of seizing the throne by force and accept the order of our father. Dear mother, don't torture yourself and speak about ending your life. After my term of exile is over, I'll come back to you. Please give me your blessing so I can depart without remorse. So then he got heavy. Both of you are simply causing me grief by opposing my desire to go to the forest in accordance with my father's command. To obey my father is the only righteous path for me, and I'll never be deterred from following it. So then she finally gave permission, and he left. So all these things are going on behind the scenes. And Srila Prabhupada also talked about this part in one lecture. I think it's on Ram Nomi, about Kaikeyi. Yes, on Ram Nomi. And he said that actually that Maharaj Dashrath agreed, and the reason why she asked 14 years in the forest, because she was afraid that Ram would come back with an army and take Bharat out of the thing. So she said, okay, not only Bharat should be king, he should go away for 14 years. So Prabhupada said diplomacy. She was very diplomatic. And as a Kshatriya, he had to agree. If a Kshatriya promises something, he cannot go back on his promise. So that's what happened. And of course, he died out of separation, Dashrath. He left his body out of separation from Ram. So verse 9, while wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishir, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest, and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramchandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. So there's a material side to it, and there's also a spiritual side to it. So Srila Prabhupada, first he'll talk about the material side in the first paragraph, and then in the second paragraph he'll talk about the spiritual side to what happened to Lord Ramchandra. So paragraph 1. In this verse the word Sri Sanginam Gatim Iti, of course there's no material side for Lord Ram, but there's a lesson for those who are in the material life. Lord Ram is teaching a lesson. In this verse the word Sri Sanginam Gatim Iti indicate the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord himself. According to moral instructions, Grihe Narim Vivarjayet, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances. So like if you were going to go on a vacation with your husband, you had to walk or perhaps go by horse or carriage or something. But here they're in the forest. They had to walk. They had to go to the forest. And it was all on foot. Still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramchandra when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his personal example. So here's a lesson for those in materialistic life, by Lord Ramchandra. Now Prabhupada talks about the spiritual situation of Lord Ram himself, actually what was happening to Lord Ram. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sanghi, but the situation of Lord Ramchandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Narayana Parovyaktar. Narayana is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of the material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. Separation of Lord Ramchandra from Sita is spiritually understood as Vipalamba, which is an activity of the Hadini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belonging to Shingararas, mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called Sattvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, Murcha, and Unmada. So you can make a note of these words. I'll give some definitions of all these words after I read this paragraph. Thus, when Lord Ramchandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchidananda Vigraha, the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss, explained by Sri Sup Damodar Goswami. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vrikiti Ladinisha Tirasma. The dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as a pleasure potency of the Lord. Lord is the original source of all pleasure, reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramchandra therefore manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who attach to women suffer. But spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. So not only does the Lord feel separation, but the devotees feel separation from the Lord. In Goloka Vrindavan, that's what it's all about. Nobody is comfortable. Everyone is in the morning. Then the mothers and the fathers and the gopis are all feeling separation when Krishna goes off to the forest. The cowherd boys are happy, and all the animals in the Vrindavan forest and the trees, they're happy because Krishna's coming there. But everyone else is suffering like anything back in the mother, the father, Nanda, Yashoda, and all the gopis. And then when Krishna comes back in the evening, then the cowherd boys, their separation starts, and they can't sleep the whole night out of separation from Krishna. But the gopis are happy, and Nanda and Yashoda are happy. But actually it's described that in the Damodar Leela, in the morning, Yashoda was, when she was churning butter, she was singing about Krishna because he was sleeping and she was feeling separation from him while he was sleeping. So this separation is continuously going on in Goloka. You'd think, okay, once you get to the spiritual world, no more problems. But it's not a problem because for them it's waves of ecstasy. It's a different kind of ecstasy. And then when they feel the separation, then the other part, the meeting, is even better. So here we have some words in the purport. Sattvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, Murcha, and Umad. So the first one, Sattvika, it describes eight kinds of transformations. Lord Chaitanya, he had these eight kinds in his body. It's described in Antya Lila 14:99. What are these eight symptoms? That is, perspiration, being stunned, standing of the body, hairs on end, faltering of the voice, trembling, fading of your color, tears, and devastation. So Lord Ramchandra was experiencing these eight symptoms. Srila Prabhupada explains for us what it means. In 4th canto of 29:63, that sometimes our devotees may experience these eight symptoms. So he describes in this purport, 4:29:63, how the mind of a person in Krishna consciousness acts in a similar way. The tongue chants Hare Krishna. The hands are raised in ecstasy. And the legs dance. So Prabhupada said these symptoms are technically called Ashta Sattvika Vikar. So when you're chanting and dancing in kirtan, it's Ashta Sattvika, it's at least some of the eight Ashta Sattvika Vikar, Srila Prabhupada says. So that's the eight transformations. Sanchari is described in Madhya Lila 2:35. It's quoting Nectar of Devotion, 33 destructive symptoms expressed in words, in the eyebrows, and in the eyes. Vyabhichari Pav, destructive ecstasy. If they continue, they are called Sanchari, continued ecstasy. So constantly having these, not only is he having these eight transformations, he's having 33 destructive symptoms of ecstasy at the same time, feeling separation from Sita. And Vilap, lamentation. So Lord Ram, he is feeling lamentation. He came back to his hut and Sita was gone. Lord Chaitanya was always in lamentation, especially the last 18 years of his life. And to give him solace, Ramananda Roy would recite slokas, Sup Damodar. Then, and here's one expression of his ecstasy, Madhya Lila 2:29. My dear friends, unless I serve the transcendental form, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna, all my days and my senses will become entirely useless. Now I'm uselessly bearing the burden of my senses, which are like stone blocks and dried wood. I do not know how long I will be able to continue without shame. So your body, of course, he didn't have a material body, but he's expressing for us that our senses are actually like stone blocks and dry wood. And what's the use of maintaining them if we have no love for Krishna? So that was his sentiment. And murcha, fainting, that's another symptom. And unmad, madness. So in the Ramayana of, I can't remember his name, Krishna Dharma, yes, Krishna Dharma's Ramayana, describes a scene, how Lord Ram was thinking of Sita. He was crying. Where was she? Perhaps she had died in his absence, dying of grief. As Ram looked around at the beautiful scenery, his pain only increased. Everything reminded him of Sita. The peahen's mating dance brought to mind the way Sita would approach him in love. The fragrant breeze was like the scented breath of his beloved wife. Yellow champak flowers resembled her shining silk garment. Bright red tree blossoms looked like the princess, full hips, lips. Deer moved about with their mates, piercing Ram's heart as he remembered how he would wander with Sita. The white swans reminded Ram of his wife's complexion. Indeed, he saw her everywhere he looked. Ram cried out in anguish, his heart burning with the pain of separation. Lakshman comforted his brother, again reassuring him Sita would be found. So meanwhile, Hanuman was with Sita, and Hanuman assured Sita, Ram is always thinking of you. His mind is distracted by grief due to separation. He can't even eat properly and he hardly sleeps. He sits for long periods, gazing into the distance, sighing heavily. So these are what's happening to Ram. He would not even brush from his body gnats and mosquitoes, oblivious to everything as he thought of Sita. From time to time, he would call out her name and shed tears. Sita felt simultaneous joy and grief as she heard of her husband and his own grief for her. So that's one point of this purport. Now the end of the purport, the second to last paragraph, there's another point. And Prabhupada says, it was actually impossible for Ravana to take away Sita. The form of Sita taken away by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt, and the real Sita came out of the fire. So Lord, there's a pastime of Lord Chaitanya about this, that when he was traveling in South India, he was once invited to lunch by one Brahmin. And when he got there, he saw nothing was ready. He hadn't even started cooking. So he asked the Brahmin, well, what happened? Why are you so depressed? He said, do you know what happened? Today, Sita has been taken by Ravana, and I couldn't rescue her. So he was so much engrossed, absorbed in the pastimes of Ram, that he couldn't cook. So he couldn't cook. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't worry. So then he cooked. And Lord Chaitanya went down south, he found Kurma Purana, and it described that actually Ravana didn't touch Sita. When she saw him, she took shelter of Agni, and the fire god covered her body, and she was protected from the hands of Ravana. So then Lord Chaitanya, he was so happy, he tore this page out, and he brought it to this Brahmin and showed him, see, Sita was not taken. It was Amaya Sita. So actually here it says that the original Sita went to the abode of the fire god. Another place it says she went to Parvati's place. So there is a question by Jiva Goswami here about how can, if he's the Lord, how is he feeling? If he's always Atmarama, why is he feeling love for his wives? Why is he feeling this separation? And so the answer is that he doesn't love like an ordinary person in this world. But and he's not attracted by the beauty of his wives and their loving glances. What is he actually attracted to with them?
Devotion,
yes, the bhakti. He's attracted to the bhakti. So Jiva Goswami gives two purposes for Lord Ram's pastimes. One is to show his love for his devotees, and the second one is to teach the people in general renunciation. So Srila Prabhupada also, he picked up on this, he said, renunciation and to show his love for his devotees. So verse 12, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali and arranging for deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Purport. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramchandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita has been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramchandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony. Then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi. So here is the story of Jatayu, that he was seeing Jatayu was challenged Ravana, and Ravana struck Jatayu with many weapons, but the vulture wounded Ravana with his sharp talons. Although pierced by numerous arrows, the sight of Sita crying while seated on Ravana's chariot enabled Jatayu to tolerate the pain. As he attacked Ravana, Jatayu warded off the onslaught of arrows with his wings and managed to break Ravana's bow with his feet. Then he cut off Ravana's armor. This is all, he has no weapons except his beak and his feet. He killed the mules that were yoked to his chariot. He smashed Ravana's chariot to pieces and simultaneously struck off the driver's head with his beak. Now this is Jatayu. As a result, Ravana fell to the ground while tightly holding Sita in his arms. All who witnessed this wonderful display of prowess applauded Jatayu with great enthusiasm. But due to his age, Jatayu became exhausted. Ravana once again rose up into the sky, holding Sita in one arm while wielding a sword with the other. Jatayu suddenly swooped down on Ravana from the back and began pulling his hair so forcibly the Rakshasa's lips quivered in indignation. Ravana struck back at Jatayu with his palm. Jatayu dodged the blow and proceeded to tear off Ravana's 20 arms with his powerful beak. But guess what? The arms grew back. So he tore off all of Ravana's arms. So then he left Sita down and he started striking Jatayu with his fists and feet. After an hour, Ravana took out his sword and swiftly cut off Jatayu's wings, feet, and flanks, making him fall to the ground, fatally wounded. Greatly distressed, Sita ran to where Jatayu lay, embraced him as tears came to her eyes. But Ravana quickly went and seized her by the hair. When Sita cried out, "Ram, Ram," the whole universe went out of order, so that all became enveloped in darkness. Due to empathy with Sita's grief, the wind no longer blew and the sun became lusterless. Lord Brahma, however, who could perceive the entire incident through divine eyes, declared, "Our purpose is now accomplished." So the demigods are waiting for Ravana to be killed. So then there's another part about Jatayu from Krishna Dharma's Ramayana. This is the part where he fights and Sita goes and embraces him. And now, after Ram comes to that place, and Ram also embraces him. And Jatayu talks to Ram, and he described what happened. Upon hearing this story, Ram fell weeping to the ground. He embraced Jatayu and stroked his head. In great pain, Ram cried out, "Alas, who is more unfortunate than I? My kingdom is lost, I am exiled, my wife is stolen, and now my father's friend lies mortally wounded, having tried his best to help me." Ram questioned Jatayu, "Where did Ravana take Sita? What did she say as she was being dragged away? How powerful was the Rakshasa, and where was his abode?" Ram spoke wildly in a tearful voice. Jatayu looked at him fondly. Speaking in barely a whisper, he replied, "The demon conjured up a storm as he flew in the sky. As I contended with him, I soon became exhausted, being old and worn out. He then lopped off my wings. He sped away with his face pointing south." The bird lay gasping. He reassured Ram Sita would soon be found, because the Rakshasa had kidnapped her at an hour which was favorable for her return. "Although he knew it not," Jatayu said, "it was the Vinda hour. According to scripture, a treasure lost during that time is again recovered." So Srila Prabhupada lectured on this, on Jatayu. And this was actually in Mayapur. And this was 7th canto, 9th chapter, Prahlad's prayers. And what is the lesson? So Prabhupada said there is a lesson we can learn from Jatayu, and we should all take this lesson to heart. So what is the lesson we can learn from Jatayu? Yes, Maharaja.
Loyalty.
Loyalty, yes.
Fight for the Lord without disregarding any danger.
Fight for the Lord, disregarding any danger. You're getting there, yes.
Whether we're successful or not.
Yes. Yes, this is the lesson actually. Whether victory or defeat, you have to try to serve Krishna. Whether you're successful or unsuccessful, you must make the attempt to serve Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says, our movement is based on practical activity. Whatever talent you have, whatever little strength you have, education, you don't have to learn more things. Whatever you have, you can serve Krishna. Not that you have to learn something first, then you serve. No, the service itself is learning. The more you try to render service, the more you become advanced how to become experienced servant. We don't need extra intelligence. The example is Gajayutapai, the elephant, king of elephants. He was an animal, big fatty animal, but he's an animal. Hanuman was animal. Jatayu was a bird. So they satisfied Krishna. And so he said, Jatayu, he attacked him in the sky. He was taking away Sita. And he was defeated. He says, so we also have to fight those who oppose Krishna consciousness. Never mind if we're defeated. That is also service. Krishna sees the service. So like in Russia, we see they got the land, they lost the land, and it seems like it's a defeat, but actually Krishna sees the service. In Kazakhstan also. Defeated or victorious depend on Krishna, but fighting must be there. Not that, okay, it's hopeless. I should just go away and sit down and chant somewhere and be happy. No, you have to fight. Prabhupada said our movement is practical activity. So Jatayu was fighting, he was defeated fighting with Ravana, and Lord Ram did the funeral ceremonies because he was a devotee. So Prabhupada says, whatever capacity we have, it doesn't matter. We just have to serve Krishna. You don't have to be rich, beautiful, strong. In any condition, service cannot be stopped. So that's a haituki or pratihata. And Krishna is prepared to accept a little flour, a little water, anything. He doesn't say, give me luxurious and palatable dishes in Bhagavad Gita. He just says, leaf. He's very simple, actually. Krishna's very simple instruction. So now, there's a background behind this also. This is Mayapur, 1977. And the background is described by one devotee in his Vyasa Puja that actually Srila Prabhupada, when he was speaking on this at this time, was in a very weak condition, very, very sick. He was very sick. So here is what this devotee wrote. Actually, I don't even have the name of the devotee. Oh, L.A. 77, Vyasa Puja. Despite all difficulties, you never gave up preaching about Krishna. One night in Mayapur, despite a crippling illness, you preached to us about determination and devotional service. So this is what this is about, determination. You cited the example of Jatayu, the vulture, who was killed while trying to stop Ravana. You explained, although Jatayu was unable to save Sita, this does not mean he was unsuccessful. Because he endeavored to the best of his ability to serve Lord Ram, he was successful, even though he had failed to achieve the result. Just imagine. He didn't get the result, but he was successful. This spiritual life is so nice. Of course, we can't use it as an excuse. But you are thus teaching us, so he's talking to Prabhupada, to follow your example of ceaselessly fighting for Krishna, ignoring all obstacles. Your doctor came to see you due to the severity of your illness. His purpose was to order you not to speak so you could regain your energy. Just imagine Prabhupada not speaking. When he arrived in your room, you immediately took the opportunity to preach to him about Krishna consciousness. No force within this material world is powerful enough to stop your preaching. The doctor was coming to order him, don't talk, and Prabhupada talked much more, preaching to the doctor. As we reluctantly left your association in Mayapur to go to Vrindavan, we heard another amazing example of your tenacity. Your illness was so severe you were unable to move. So Prabhupada, he couldn't even move while he was preaching. You commented that your father had died of the self-same disease. We were all terrified and we didn't know what to do. Then we heard your final comment. You started making plans for a preaching tour. He couldn't move, but he was saying, okay, I'm going to fly here, I'm going to go to America. Actually, in America, he was planning to go to America. So We couldn't believe it. Later on in Vrindavan, one devotee was standing on the roof of the guest house watching you as you sat in great pain on the roof of your house. To his amazement, you spent one full hour attempting to lift up your microphone. So for 1 hour, he was just trying to pick up his microphone so he could dictate Srimad Bhagavatam. You then proceeded to translate the 10th canto. So this was Srila Prabhupada. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. On another occasion, you stated you will go on preaching until your last breath. So Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't that he spoke the words and it was just for us. It was preaching, he was preaching to us. He was actually doing what he was speaking. So that's why we were impressed. And we followed him. And we gave up everything to follow him. So verse 13. So Prabhupada, Jatayu, we have to take our lessons from them. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger. And simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand you are the Supreme Person, Master of the entire universe, unchanging and original personality of Godhead. So it's amazing what the Lord has to do to get things done. Sometimes he has to show his anger if people don't listen. Who else? This actually reminded me of another pastime in Krishna Lila where somebody wasn't listening to Balaram.
Yamuna.
And? Residents of Hastinapur weren't listening to Balaram, and so he showed them, started dragging the city into the Jamuna.
Also, Sutta Goswami's father,
he killed Ramaharshana. Right. So, if you don't listen, then he'll show you. He'll show you who he is. The demigods are infatuated. This is a personified ocean. With a mode of goodness, Prajapatis with a mode of passion, and Lord of the Ghosts with a mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. Purport. The word jadadiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. So, if we don't want to understand him one way, he'll show us another way. How that we'll get the stick, we'll get beaten. So better we try to understand him. We should try to understand Krishna. A Hindi poet has said, "Dukha se shab hari bhaje, sukha se bhaje koi, sukha se agar hari bhaje, dukkata se hoy." When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society, for without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. So how do we perceive this? How do we perceive this in our life or in the material world, the punishment of the Lord, which causes us or causes people to understand that the Lord is the supreme?
He
takes the things we're attached to away.
And we are remaining in grief and sorrow. So then comes, after some time, after lamentation comes understanding that everything is temporary.
Okay, after a lamentation, we understand, okay, yes.
And
everything's temporary. Okay, somebody is there. Any other Adipurush?
Death.
Death is that actually the Lord comes in the form of death to the materialistic person. Then they understand. And when they're faced with death, Prabhupada always gives this example when there were some astronauts in space in America and they were in trouble. So then the president, who was pious, he asked everyone to pray for the astronauts in America. And so, yes, death, danger. Yeah, I know. It's pretty good. It's good. But Prabhupada's point was that when they're in danger, then they go to God. When they're in danger.
At least?
Yes.
In 1829, this verse where people imagine only that God is partial.
Yes.
Prabhupada says, not a community.
Not a mercantile community.
They drop the...
Yes, when they don't get the money, they drop the service. That is the material world. 1829. Okay, so verse 15. My Lord, now she's very submissive after being burnt by his glance. You may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please, go kill him and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. So what does this mean? My water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka. No impediment. Hmm? Yes. He could walk across it. He could divide it. He could swallow it. Yes, so many things he could do. It's not an impediment, but she wants him to be glorified by making this very special bridge. So this paragraph 2 talks about this bridge. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences, but to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. So nowadays, Prabhupada says, by popular vote you can become God. Or advertise, if you just advertise to people, you can become God. We have a good advertising agency that can convince people that you are God. And yes, there is that one. Why they accept, there is one incarnation in Bengal, so-called. And why do they accept him as an incarnation? Because he was on his deathbed, and he said on his deathbed, before he died, I am Ram, I am Krishna. And he died. And then they accept him, oh, he is Ram, Krishna. He is Ram, he is Krishna. And that's the only reason why they accept him as God. What did he do? And so anyway, these are examples of election by popular vote. He constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Not only a little magic, there is something else. Why else do they accept these so-called artificial gods? Little magic, okay, that may convince them, but what is the magic? Yeah.
Because those persons encourage sense gratification.
They encourage sense gratification. Yeah. How? Because they manufacture gold and they think, yes, I will get some of this gold. I will learn how to do his tricks. I will get some gold also. Well, this dust, this will cure me of this disease and that disease. So they worship these gods because they're going to get something out of it. Actually, they think this person will help me in my material life. They think he has some power to make me successful in my business, to pass my tests, this and that, cure my disease. And so they worship. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. So if anyone asks why you accept Ram as God, why you accept Krishna as God, here is your answer. He lifted Govardhan Hill and he built a bridge. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. And my son informed me that there is a satellite photo. In the satellite photo of India, you can see the bridge under the water. You have the photo. Should have brought it today. You have it also? See if you can find it and then we can all see. Yes?
Is that visible?
It says that it's 800 miles.
800 miles. Yeah, I don't know exactly. He's going to look it up now.
But it's not on your computer.
Not on your computer, okay. So the satellite photos confirm that the bridge is there. So if you're an unbeliever, you can go and look at the satellite photos and see the bridge to Lanka. It's not floating at the moment, but it's sunk down into the ocean. But you can see, yes? If you go to Rameshram, you can see that.
It's below the water.
It's below it.
Yes, you can see stones, straight.
Straight. If you go to Rameshram, you can see the bridge, the stones underneath the water. Okay? So there we have it. The bridge is still there after how many years now? Treta Yuga. How many years ago was that?
Especially in Lagula Gavatamrita, it's mentioned it was in the 24th degree.
24th. Achcha, it wasn't in ours. Lagu Bhagavatam. Well, it's longer ago than we think. Instead of only a few thousand years or a million years,
it's like 17 or 18 million.
17, 18 million years could be, and it's still there. And the satellite photos are proving that the mountain, the bridge is still there. So verse 16... After constructing a bridge, Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. So Hanuman went as a messenger. He went to see Sita. He went to find Sita. And that time he entered Lanka, he took a very small shape so he wouldn't be seen. He's a small, small monkey, and he entered. And then he was going into all the apartments of Ravana looking for Sita, and she wasn't there, and finally he found her. And then he gave Ram's ring to her, and she also gave something for Ram. And then he allowed himself to be caught, and because he wanted to see the palace and different things. So the way they punished him was to put his tail on fire, because monkeys are very proud of their tails. So they put his tail on fire, and he was pretending to be tied by the bonds. But then when they did that, then he burst his bonds, and he set fire to Ravana's palace and to all the houses. And meanwhile, Sita was praying that let the fire be as cool as ice. So he wasn't feeling any pain from the fire at all, because Sita was saying, let it be very cool. He was feeling very cool, a cooling effect on his tail. He was jumping from palace to palace, putting the whole city on fire. And then he left. And so this happened before. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Only under his direction does Prakriti or material nature work. Similar information is given in Brahma Samhita. Yasya gaya pramati sangitakala chakra govindamati purushantamaham majami. Describing how material nature works, Brahma Samhita says, the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ram to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramchandra eternally celebrated. So Nityananda was also doing this pastime of building a bridge with his friends. His friends were playing the role of monkeys. And how they did it, they cut castor oil plants and made a bridge across the water. And Nityananda was accepting the role of Lakshman, who angrily went with a bow in his hand to chastise Sugriva. O king of the monkeys, my lord is in distress. Come quickly or I'll kill you. How can you sit here enjoying with women while he's lamenting on Malyavan mountain? So Srila Prabhupada, in another lecture in Mayapur, was talking about this wonderful bridge. He says, the stones were floating on the water, so where's your law of gravitation here? He says, how about the law of gravitation? And stones are floating. It can't be done by the scientists, but Lord Ramchandra desired, let the stone float. And I think they put the name of Ram on each stone. They inscribed the name of Ram on each stone, and so therefore it could float. And so Prabhupada says, without the stones he could go, but he wanted service from the monkeys. And so therefore, says, you cannot, most of the monkeys, they couldn't jump over like Hanuman. And so therefore he made a bridge for them, so they could also cross the ocean. And there's this famous story about here in BTG, they have a spider. Sometimes they say it's a squirrel, sometimes they say it's a spider who is also trying to throw little grains of sand to make a bridge. And Hanuman was making fun. What nonsense you're doing here with your little pieces of sand. You cannot bring big stones like us. And Ram said, no, he's doing as good as you are. So therefore, there's hope for us. We may not be able to do big preaching. We can do little preaching and do some preaching. We cannot do like Srila Prabhupada or Lord Chaitanya, but we can do something. And then our life is perfect. So there's some description of the pastimes. The gods and Gandharvas, along with celestial rishis, stood in amazement as they gazed upon the bridge. So this is from Ramayana of Krishna Dharma. It was 80 miles wide and 800 miles long. The monkeys and bears swarmed onto it, shouting and roaring in joy. Like a great flood, they swept toward Lanka. In the front were Ram and Lakshman mounted upon the backs of Hanuman and Angada. They soon reached Lanka and ordered the army to encamp on the shore. And so there's another lesson we can learn from this description of the throwing the stones and Lord Ramchandra crossing on the bridge. What is another lesson we can learn from this pastime here of building the bridge across the ocean? And Prabhupada often cites this lesson. What lesson?
Lord can do whatever he wants.
Another lesson.
Patience.
Another lesson. Well, the lesson is that by the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can do better service than Vishnu. So Hanuman, he could jump across, but Ram had to go by bridge. So Hanuman did even something more wonderful. He jumped across it. He jumped across the 800 miles to Lanka. But Ram, he went by bridge. Yes, but Prabhupada uses this as an example, that he wants to see his servants more glorified than himself. So the example in Ramlila was Hanuman. Yeah, he flew. He could fly. He jumped and he flew. Monkeys fly. They have a little bit of... If you watch them, she saw when a monkey jumped from the roof of MVT over to a tree. by the entrance, or by my house, and entrance to.
Regular monkeys then.
Yeah, of course. Even these regular monkeys can jump and fly to some extent. They have a little bit. So you watch them, you can see, you can imagine Hanuman's ability. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that Lord Ramachandra cannot fly or jump like Hanuman.
Right.
He's just giving credit to his devotee. Like,
that is the lesson. Arjuna. That is the lesson.
No, I'm just saying that
yes.
just
that is the lesson. That is the lesson. So, yes, Arjuna is the other example. In Mahabharata, Arjuna is the example of how Krishna he gave the credit for fighting the battle to Arjuna. He was just a chariot driver driving Arjuna's chariot. He was the chariot driver. Arjuna was the hero of the battle. Arjuna, Bhima, they were the heroes. Krishna was just a chariot driver. Very simple, humble. And so there's the verse in Bhagavad Gita, from 11th chapter. Tasma tvamutishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrumbhung sharajam samritam mayaivate neha tapovameva nimittamatram bhavasavisachin. So he told Arjuna, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies, enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They're already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, it was time for Arjuna to get off the chariot. And Krishna said, you get off first and I'll get off after you. Why? Because as soon as Krishna left the chariot, it burst into flames because it was destroyed so many times, but Krishna was keeping it together so they could still fight the battle. So actually, Krishna is actually doing it. Well, we think we're doing it. We can be an instrument for him. But actually, it's his fight and his battle, and he's actually doing it. There's another story, short story, about one person, one Brahmin in Lord Ram's kingdom. And he would not eat anything until he got darshan of Ram that day. So one time, Ram went out for 2 weeks on tour. And someone came to him and said, Lord Ram, this Brahmin has not eaten or drunk a drop of water while you've been gone. Because he comes for your darshan. Prabhupada said, just like we go to the temple and see the Lord. So this one, this Brahmin, he wouldn't eat or drink until he saw the Lord every day. That was his practice. And he was seeing Ram, actually. And so there was a deity of Ramchandra. It's worshipped from Maharaj Ikshvaku in the family of Ram. And it was passed, even Ram had that deity, but when Ram was there, he kept it in the closet. They didn't worship the Ram deity when Ram was there. Prabhupada says they kept it in the closet. So then he gave that deity to that Brahmin to worship. And Srila Prabhupada said that so in my absence he can respect the deity and that would be good enough. And Prabhupada said this deity is still existing somewhere in South India. This deity of Ram that is from Ikshvaku, from the line of from the time of Ikshvaku. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hanuman
t-shirt, okay.
Just kidding.
Hanuman t-shirt. Good. So Hanuman has graced our class in the form of a t-shirt. But Hanuman can come in many forms. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on these verses? Aripush. Yeah, I don't know which one it is, but there was one deity which is in the line of Ikshvaku. Yes. Hmm? Could be Sri Ranganath.
It's not Sri Ranganath, actually. The picture is there in Iskandeli.
Oh, in Iskandeli is a picture? Oh, that's okay. It doesn't matter. The deity may be from the 24th. The deity is from Ikshvaku. It's way before. That doesn't mean Lord Ram came in the 24th.
No, but I mean,
I found actually in my research here somewhere that all the leelas happen once in a day of Brahma.
Yeah.
Once in a day.
I got such an answer.
All the leela avatars. I found that somewhere in my research.
Like every day of the day, right?
No, no, not every Chaturyuga, but once in a day of Brahma, all the leela avatars appear. Oh, Leela, I read that. That we had, I remembered it because we had that question. Vamana Dev. Okay, Adi Purush, what did you have?
Last summer I gave a class on one of these verses, 15, and I was asked a question.
Verse 15.
Prabhupada writes there that one should not accept anybody as an avatar unless one does something extraordinary.
Extraordinary, yeah.
And he gives an example of
Govardhan Hill.
So I was asked in the class that Hanuman, not at seven, but right at birth, not just lifted some mountain, but he swallowed the sun.
Right. That's a good question.
So
Hanuman swallowed the sun.
And there are.
He wanted to.
Oh, he wanted to, but he didn't do it.
I think he swallowed it. It became dark, and all the demigods came to.
Gotcha.
That's why he's called.
No, Vayu.
No.
Son of Vayu.
And then there are creatures that can lift mountains, and so Hanuman can lift mountains.
Right.
So how does that prove that Krishna is supreme if Hanuman can do also?
That's a good question. And not only that, he could jump over the ocean and Ram had to take the bridge. So how do we know? It's not the only criteria that you can doing uncommon activities. It's one criteria. But he's talking about these foolish ones that we have now. For them, it's a criteria. But Hanuman, he was, in another age where people, weren't so foolish as to accept everyone as God. They knew who God was. But for now, Kali Yuga, this criteria stands. This criteria for anyone now, they can, but people in that time, they knew who was God. The demigods knew. But of course, Hanuman was very powerful. Son of Vayu. Yes?
And the devotee wouldn't claim to be God anyway.
Right, he wouldn't claim to be God. Yeah. Yeah, that's also a good point, that a devotee would not claim to be God. Hanuman would not say, oh, just see my power. Of course, they made him forget it after that. He lost his memory of how powerful he was.
The question was that if a jiva can manifest such a power, then why do we claim that somebody who did something apparently lesser is not?
And so the answer was that for this Kali Yuga, no jiva can do it. So therefore it's a good criteria for now to decide an incarnation. But in the previous times, of course, everyone, jivas could do so many, devotees, Vaishnavas could do more wonderful things even than God himself. So, yes, Madhavendra.
I read that Jivar Goswami says there were as many monkeys as one followed by 64 zeros.
One?
Followed by 64 zeros.
How many monkeys were there with Ram? One followed by 64 zeros. So figure it out.
Yes, we will.
Mathematicians, Asa Damana, Krishna.
It's about the deity of Divarishi Prabhu with Mayapur Gurukula. So he said he visited the deity and according to him, supposed to be in Gujarat.
According to him, it's in Gujarat. Gotcha.
They visited with
there may be.
Padayata,
so. Gotcha. There may be more than one. So, who knows? Hard to say, with these deities. How? Why is Hanuman's? Oh, in Braj. Well, it's everywhere in India, especially Hanuman. I don't know why.
Protection.
Yeah, most of the common people worship Hanuman also. A lot of common, all over India. They worship him. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Krishna and Radha and Krishna may not give you strength. Yeah. And they think, oh, he cannot, what can he do? He's just a small boy. How can he help us? Now, for strength, they go to Hanuman.
And Shiva also for marriages.
Hanuman is also good for brahmacharis.
Yes.
He's the strongest brahmachari.
So maybe
these people love Shiva. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I'll go as to Srila Prabhupada.